This great solemnity of All Saints is one of my favorite days in the church. It is a day on which we are particularly mindful of the saints in heaven, but also because of our secular context of Halloween and also our feast day tomorrow, the commemoration of All Souls, a weekend in which we have a great opportunity to focus on those who have gone before us, to focus on the dead. Quick word about Halloween. Tonight, we might kind of pass over this as a secular kind of holiday, and to some degree it is, but there is some religious value even in the way we celebrate Halloween, the Eve of All Hallows, the Eve of All Saints. That's where the word comes from. You know, it is something good that we do, in a sense, kind of laugh at and mock death, so to speak, on Halloween. We dress up as ghosts and those who are dead, and we kind of laugh in the face of death and say the darkness and death is nothing to be afraid of. And so there is something even right about Halloween and our celebration of it. But on this particular solemnity of All Saints, we are especially mindful of all of our brothers and sisters, those outstanding witnesses of holiness who have gone before us, those of every time and place, and we particularly remember that they are not separated from us, but are very much with us. And tomorrow, as we celebrate the commemoration of the faithful departed on All Souls, we remember that all of our faithful departed are not separated from us, but are still very much with us. The faithful departed that we pray for on All Souls, we often refer to as the church suffering, those holy souls in purgatory that need our prayers. Today on All Saints, we honor the church triumphant, the saints in glory, those described in our gospel as those dressed in white who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and now stand before the throne of God, cleansed and purified. The thing I love about the saints is that they're so diverse. All of us can look amongst the saints and find someone who is like us, someone who speaks particularly to us. And that ultimately is why the church will choose to canonize and officially acknowledge someone as a saint. The word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus, which just means holy. Anyone who is in heaven is a saint, a holy one. And the reason we canonize someone is to say infallibly they are in heaven. The reason we pick so many different people and say they are in heaven without a doubt is because all of us need examples to say, well, I'm like that person. That person isn't so different from me. I'm a lawyer, and St. Thomas More was a lawyer and a politician. I'm like him. He can do that. Or, you know, I'm a wife and a mother. Well, St. Jana Bharatamola, she was a wife and a mother. I'm like that. I can be holy. And we have all these beautiful examples. And the great thing about the saints is not only are they holy and we set them up as examples, but they were truly human. They were truly people just like us. You know, you look at examples like Saint Jerome. He's a saint. He's in heaven. But people hated him. He was terrible to get along with. He was disgruntled and angry and unhappy a lot of times. He ended up living a lot of his life in a kind of a hermitage because of it. But he was holy in his own way. There are those who radically lived out their holiness in the midst of a great community. We can look at those, even like Blessed Mother Teresa, for instance, on her way to being a saint, who was very much even in the public eye as she did her ministry. And all those down to Saint Anthony of the Desert, who lived his whole life of sanctity isolated, off in the desert by himself doing battle with Satan. We have saints from every walk of life, every way of holiness. And this ultimately shows us that there is no one way to be holy. All of us are called to be holy right where we are, right in our state. We talked last week about new Saint Damien of Molokai. He ministered to the lepers in Hawaii at the island of Molokai. Well, we're not on an island of lepers. We can look to the charity of St. Damien, but only we are in Topeka, Kansas, in 2009 at this time, in this particular set of circumstances for the church. Our time is unique. How will we answer the call to holiness in our own day? You know, that is, ultimately, someone once asked, what do all the saints have in common? Well, they're all dead. And, well, that's true. And at the same time, that we recognize, yes, they're very much alive in heaven. But there's a point there that, yeah, they're in heaven. Their race is done. They've washed their robes. They stand around the throne. But for us, we're here right in the middle of it. And yes, they're great examples for us, and we do ask their intercession in prayer. But here we are. What will we do? I mentioned the souls in purgatory as the church suffering and the saints in glory as the church triumphant. Here on earth, we are often referred to as the church militant. We are called to be the church at battle. You know, one of the things that's also true about all the saints, none of them ever became a saint by accident. They didn't just decide one day and accidentally fall into being holy. Our reading was very specific that these are the ones that survived the great struggles and trials. They were right amidst all this frustration and difficulty that we are right now. And they made a choice. They said, I want to be a saint. I'm going to be holy, no matter what that means. For many of them, that meant martyrdom and actually laying down their life in witness to their faith. That is the first origin of All Saints Day, to celebrate all the martyrs. Eventually, we had many people who we recognized their holiness who didn't die for the faith, whom we call confessors. But ultimately, heaven is attained after the result of great struggle and difficulty. None of the saints became saints even by just deciding that they wanted to generally be good. I just want to be a good person. Good people don't go to heaven. Holy people go to heaven. We have to make a choice to say, I want to be a saint, no matter how difficult that might be. A few practical things that come to mind for the church militant as we go through life. The saints in heaven are our friends. They really do hear our prayers. We read in the book of Revelation, what are the saints doing in heaven? Well, they've got bowls of incense, and they're offering the prayers of God's people before the throne. They hear us. We need to invoke the prayers of our brothers and sisters in heaven. You know, there are so many saints that we could pray to. All of us should have our patron saints. Perhaps we're named after a saint. That's a beautiful practice. Myself, the name Sean is Irish for John, and so when I was trying to discern who would be my patron saint, like, well, which John then? And I ultimately discerned that I think John the Baptist. He was a prophet and one called to prepare the way of God, and ultimately he was a martyr, and that somehow I felt like John the Baptist would be a good patron for me. My middle name is Philip, and I chose Philip the Apostle. My confirmation name is Saint Stephen. I have icons of those three saints up in my room where I can invoke their intercession often. They're my friends. As I was ordained a priest, I lay on the floor and the people sing the litany of the saints as we do at baptisms as well. And I remember thinking that as all those names were read, you know, these are my friends. I felt like I really knew them and I wanted their prayers. We should all have a great friendship with the saints, especially our own patrons. I think we should definitely, as we welcomed new little children into the world, to, you know, give them names of the saints that they can have patrons right from the beginning. And a couple of my friends recently, when they had their first little daughter, right after she was born, they sent out an email to me that was like a page long detailing exactly why they had named their daughter the names that they did. Her name was Moira Agnes, and they had like a paragraph on each name, exactly who the patron saint was and what it meant, and like three different patrons included, and I had to email them back and say, your email is enough to make like a priest cry, that they, like, you really care about giving your child great patron saints. And I was just so edified. We need our holy friends, and so I encourage all of us to develop a friendship, particularly with our patrons, but then to invoke their prayers that we might fight well in this life, that none of us is going to gain heaven by accident. we must make a decision and we must fight. Today, we know that we are not alone. As we gather around the altar to celebrate the sacred Eucharist, we celebrate the same mysteries that are being celebrated in heaven. Indeed, heaven joins with earth during this sacred moment in time, a moment that transcends time. So as we celebrate the Eucharist today, envision, if you will, the countless saints and angels who gather with us. We are, for a brief moment, one with heaven as we join with the angels and saints in their joyful hymn of praise around the throne, around the altar of God, with the Lamb at the center, Jesus Christ, present for us in the Eucharist, present for us in heaven, present for us through all our days. May the saints and their prayers lead us to join them one day in heaven.